Welcome to the Ranking Revolution podcast, your go-to source for strategies and ideas for SEO, organic growth, content creation, and online business. I'm Doug Cunnington. I'm your host. This is part two of the interview with Sean Markey. If you missed part one, be sure to check it out. We talk about his offer for a fractional SEO director. And in part two, we talk about email newsletters, which I'm crazy about. I love email newsletters. They are seeing a resurgence with Google algorithm updates and Google organic search traffic kind of being, if I said extremely volatile, that would underplay how volatile the algorithm is. But the thing is, newsletters are awesome. You can directly reach your audience and it is independent of any other platform. There's very few things that you can do where you can reach your audience directly. Podcasting is one, email newsletters is the other, where you are not reliant on any other platform. So we get into the details about Sean's success with his email newsletter. And yeah, I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to ramble on. So let's get to the interview. We jump right in. I start telling him how much I like his newsletter. Because you are a great writer. I've wanted to unsubscribe from your newsletter because there's so much noise in my head anyway. But it's it's so good that I stay on the freaking newsletter, Sean. So rank good. Theory, yeah. Let's start talking about that. So what is in your newsletter? Like, what's the tagline? What do you talk about?
I mean, it's kind of like whatever I feel like talking about, which is awesome. But I try and structure it like the meat of the newsletter is usually taking some story that happened during the week or the past week or whenever it's coming out and just kind of laying them out in very plain terms. Like, this is what happened. This is why that's important. This is what I think about that. Here's how you could use that, yourself. So I've definitely struggled with this because when I maybe not started, but like at some point the newsletter was, here's site, go through it, like here's what you can learn, like do this huge breakdown or do this huge lesson of here's a new SEO thing to add to your toolbox. Those are fun, those are okay, but they take a long time to write, and those started going out like once a month instead of once a week. And when I switched it to just doing like here's what's been happening, like I said, here's why that's important, here's my take, blah blah blah, people respond much better to that. And so it's almost like not that I'm on the same level at all, but like almost like the Daily Show, where it's just like, here's what's happening. Let's make fun of that. Maybe there's a takeaway for you versus like, I'm going to teach you SEO. So let's strap it. So that's usually what the newsletter looks like.
How old is a newsletter? And if you're able to share, how many subscribers do you have and other stats? If you can't, that's okay, yeah. But I'd love to know.
No, I don't mind. I started in 2019, just talking about age domains. At the time, nobody else was. Every week, I would put out a newsletter and say, here's the domains coming up for action. This is why they're important. This is what I would do with them. And that was a big hit because at the time, the age domain stuff was not at all mainstream. And I probably did that for about a year, year and a half. And then it started to transition to like, this big long newsletter about something. And that's how it started and when it started. And I've got about, I think I just did a list purge. So I'm down to like 3,300 again. I'm not good at growing the newsletter. So it's not like a huge, we're running Twitter ads and, we've got this referral program. Like, I hate all that stuff. Unfortunately, because I would love to have a 20,000 subscriber newsletter instead of three, but the 3,000 people really connect with it, and hopefully, like yourself, just can't bring themselves to unsubscribe.
What's your open rate?
It's in the 59-60%.
That's crazy.
Which is pretty good. Yeah,
that's insane for a marketing list. Mine's about 25-30%, depending on like the topic and all that kind of stuff, which is
much bigger though, right?
Just a little bit. I'm about 11 or 10 or 11,000, something like that. So
that's like three or 4X.
Yeah. Well, I started like 6 years before you. So yeah, it's all relative, I guess. And you probably have a very high click-through rate, and you have various links in there. So one comment that I'll have, there's a newsletter that I'm on. It's for some software company, and they've sort of transitioned to just like the best of like links out. It's like a curated list. There's no commentary though. So it's just like, hey, someone else better than us wrote this thing on Twitter. And I'm like, if I wanted to go waste time on Twitter, I would just go there. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, what, like, who is, why did they think this is a good idea? It may be doing okay, but basically people are just like clicking and not learning about their product at all. And I think it's probably a waste. So you have commentary and you put in a lot more detail, and you may disagree. Sometimes you agree, but anyway, you have links in your email. So your click-through rate is probably pretty high.
Yeah. It's, I mean, all relative. I think we're usually around 10%, maybe a little less sometimes, which is not bad at all. I've got a section at the top of the newsletter called Featured Snippets, and I just link out to like two or three things that are interesting that I don't feel like talking about, or that, you know, I don't have a huge opinion on, but I think still something that should be, it is worth sharing. So I share those there. And then another thing I've done that's helped a lot is I hate doing those like, hey, like if you don't click this link, you have to I'm going to unsubscribe you, but like you still have to clean your list up. And so what I started doing, I know a lot of people, you know, block email trackers and don't, it's really hard on ConvertKit, which is what I use, to know if someone's engaged or not, if they're just blocking it. And I myself block that. And it's so annoying when I get from lists I like, because I block all that. So I started doing the thing in the intro where I'm like, hey, I have a page on my site called /meme, meme. And I say, here's the meme this week. Click this so that ConvertKit knows you're, you know, engaged, and I won't bother you about unsubscribing in the future. And that gets most clicks every week for sure.
They're pretty funny. That's smart. Yeah. All right. So you have a good list. It's converting to, you know, customers. Do you run ads as well?
Sometimes I do. I don't like it. I shouldn't be in charge of any business just because I go off of my own preference instead of what's actually valuable. Like, you know, I mean, 3,300 person list isn't commanding a ton of ad revenue anyways, but I do run ads occasionally. At this point, I try and only run ads if people buy like the entire month, because I find it annoying, have to go and put it in. I also operate on laziness. So again, that's not great. But I do ads. I think it's $8.50 right now for 3 ads. So, you know, it's not paying all the bills, but it helps a little bit for sure. And I definitely don't sell that every month either, because I don't think the most attractive way for other people to, you know, I don't think my newsletter is that attractive to advertisers. I would like to, I think once I finish my course and once I have some more things to offer, I'll just kill ads completely, because I'd rather just keep all the value to myself and not let anyone else have it.
Right. And then, you know, at the end of the day, like if you do share something, it's like because you love the product or you think it's a really interesting whatever, versus like someone paying you $300 to do it. So, okay, right. That's cool. You mentioned you're not a big like growth person. So where have your subscribers come from?
They used to come from Twitter before it sucked. I don't, you know, other people may disagree with me about that statement, but it's garbage now. I'm posting the same stuff I always did. I barely get any engagement. And I, again, for better or worse, refuse to play the, like, you know, just post for like rage baiting or whatever to get more clicks. It's just not who I am. So these days, a lot of subscribers come from just people telling other people about it, or I still post some stuff on Twitter. And like one out of every 30 get some attraction, and people come from that. I have been taking a course about how to grow a newsletter using LinkedIn and Twitter ads. And I'm going to start trying all that. But I mean, at the end of the day, I don't grow very much. You know, every send, probably about 15 to 20 people unsubscribe. And I don't always get 15 to 20 people to sign up within a week. It's just very slow. So yeah, it's especially when I like get rid of 400 people that don't engage at all, then it goes way down. So it's not the thing I'm best at, but I'm not really interested in doing a lot of the Twitter auto posts. Like, oh, if you like this tweet, sign up for my newsletter. I hate seeing that. So I don't want to do that myself. Like I said, terrible marketer. Don't follow me.
That's funny. What about like the standard lead magnet stuff? Why not do that?
So the other thing is like, maybe it's some psychological thing. If I had a more normal newsletter, I think if I was like, hey, here's the best stuff from the week, you know, click on these links. Like you were saying, like, those are easy to grow, and I think they're very churny, but they still are successful. You know, you can monetize them with ads and everything. But for me, like, it's such a, I mean, you've read it. It's a weird email. It's very non-traditional. And so it's hard to convey that in a little, you know, Twitter ad, for instance, or in an opt-in. Hey, if you like whatever, I don't really blog that much either. So that's also a reason why it's not a great, but like, if you like this breakdown of, I did sign up for my newsletter, I'll give you this spreadsheet and, you know, you'll probably unsubscribe after one or two because you won't know what you're reading if you don't really know what you're signing up for. Some people connect with it and it's really great. And yeah. I just think it's more effort than the payoff would be. Yeah. At this point, because I'm not like, you know, writing about age domains every week. So people who are like going to my site, oh, I really want to know about age domains. I'm going to sign up and get this checklist or whatever. And then I get on this newsletter. I just don't do that.
You want to workshop something really quick? You don't have to do it, but I have an idea. Okay.
Sure. Hit me.
You did some great breakdowns in previous emails. Mm-hmm. And I think those could serve as like a guest post. Like it consider this an invitation, Sean, to put one of those breakdowns on my site, Niche Site Project. And then people get your vibe from the breakdown and they see it's pretty analytical. And then it's like, hey, if you want more of this stuff, go sign up for Sean's newsletter, right? So I think you can repurpose some of the content you already have and deliver what is actually in newsletters, right? So people know what they're getting into. But I think getting in front of, you know, other people's audiences, and I know you're taking the course on Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever, like those are probably fine. And maybe that's perfect for the agency leads that you want to come in. But from another perspective, some people do like those big, long analytical breakdowns. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, thanks. I'll definitely take you up on that. But one of the, how I've thought about it is like, you know, if I was putting those on, I put a couple on my own site and they've done well. I've gotten clients who read that, referred by someone else and then contacted me. But like, there's not a lot of traffic going to my site. And so putting stuff there, I guess over time it might, you know, build up if I had 100, 200 blog posts, but it's not a place that gets a lot of traffic. And so I haven't considered like going the guest post route, finding people for whom would be okay with me posting some very high quality content on their site. But yeah, that's something for sure to consider. I appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah. And then the other thought, like way back when it first started and I don't know, it was probably like 2014, I emailed Brian Dean at Backlinko and I was like, hey, I would love to guest post. Maybe he asked me for a link or something. And I was like, sure, I'll share it out or whatever when he was promoting something. So he said, case studies are the hardest things to get. So if I'm trying to guest post at places, not necessarily Backlinko, but if you have a case study, then people are like, I can't do that. I'm not going to do this work. And you already have it. So anyway, yeah, it is another set of work, but just thinking of the pipeline and then like newsletter growth. And if you're like, you know, I don't care about the links too much and they get this great valuable piece of content, then it's kind of a no-brainer. You have to be dealing with like the right caliber of person to see the value there and not see you as like competition or whatever. But there's a lot of blogs out there, you know? So.
Yeah, or, you know, I mean, that's a great idea, doing like a, they call it Hacker Moon. Yeah, they focus on crypto or they focus on SaaS or something. It might be with a business focus, getting on something like that. I think traditionally people are like, I just want the link. Shut up. Just post my thing and like give me a link to my site. But could be interesting. I'm definitely going to give it a try. Maybe I can chat with you in the future and let you know how it goes. Maybe this will be a case study.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, everything's meta. Like before we started recording, I was like, hey, I'm starting the podcast and I'm planning on selling this thing. So I could talk about that too. So like, even if it doesn't work, I could talk at conferences and say, hey, I tried to start a podcast and sell it and it didn't work. And here's why, which is, I mean, people love to see a train wreck. So, okay. All right. What else with the newsletter? I mean, I could tell when you write it, there's a lot of personality, but do you use any AI assistance at any point in time?
No. An AI could not produce that train wreck sometimes. The ranting and the metaphors, it's all human. And will continue to be so. I'm not against AI necessarily, but like, man, if I wanted to read an AI-generated summary of something, I wouldn't subscribe to your newsletter. I would just generate the AI. It's available to everybody. Like what is your, you know, value prop in the case? I feel very strongly about that. So it's all me, and for better or worse.
I was chatting with a friend who is creating custom GPTs trained on his previous emails and previous work. And I think it comes pretty close. I think he uses it as like a first draft, but he pretty much switched over and said, you know what? I'm like, I used to write the emails, but like, this is doing a damn good job. It's 80%. I'm not saying you should do it, Sean, but like, do you think it's getting closer and closer to replicating if it's trained properly?
I don't have a ton of experience with that. So like, I haven't seen it to be able to say yes, but like, I don't know. Like for me, like my newsletter always be me writing it. 0% AI for as long as I'm writing it. It's almost like a creative outlet. And that's what I mean when I say like some of the emails are weird. I don't know if you saw the one from last week. You might not have, but I got rid of all of the featured snippet section, the news and update, site for sale. And I just wrote this weird second person point of view about going through the user's journey of finding this product. It was weird. Like it's a business B2B email. And yeah, I'm kind of proud of that. But I think of myself as a creative person and sometimes I need to do something weird and like outside the box to satisfy myself. I cut a lot of unsubscribes from that one. Like it wasn't what people signed up for necessarily. But I got a ton of people are, wow, this was the best newsletter I've read from you. It was really awesome. So just changing it up and being creative, I think people respond to that. I've done this in the past where it went really terribly. And so not everything is an A+. I think that's important to me to keep it fresh and weird and my own style.
I do that with either the podcast or YouTube as well. And I try not to look at the analytics too much because you start doing weird shit, you know, if you look at the analytics on YouTube too much. But I like the change of format, right? So, and this was the email where you talked about like opening a coffee shop, right?
Yep. In Vermont, yep.
Funny thing, like the one of my friends in town was looking to open a coffee shop, and he's actually talked about it for a few years. We've chatted before, but he actually put in like a letter of intent to lease a place and went down the route and started pricing things out. And yeah, it was a very interesting process. I mean, he was trying to talk to a lot of folks in town and really wanted to have a community space, but ultimately he decided to not open it. So when I was reading it, I was like, oh, this, I know what you're talking about. So
yeah, it's weird. It connected with a lot of random people who had these thoughts before or just like connected with the idea of open. It's sort of like a kind of serendipitous, like, all right, I'm writing a weird one this week. I can't help it. And people like it. Sometimes they don't. Like I said, I did another one where I was making, and I don't talk about this too much, but I'll tell you, it's kind of a funny story. Like 3 years later, I did this email where I was just making fun of the SEO industry, which I'm a part of, and how it's just like a complete, like, day in, day out doing the keyword research and like getting beaten down by Google. And a lot of people emailed me after I sent it. Are you okay? Like, here, like, I'm really worried about you. Like, here's a suicide hotline. Like, should you call them? And I quickly wrote and I was like, I'm fine. This was not a joke, but it was kind of trying to, you know, make fun of a thing we all, I think, but it didn't come out that way. And I think that's the last time I did something weird. So it's been a while. So it doesn't always work. It's just an example.
Do you like sort of dark stand-up comedy? Is that where that came from a little bit?
Oh, yeah. The worst, most inappropriate is what really makes me. So I try and not go there too much. And the thing is, like, I sent this to two or three people before. I was like, is this okay? Like, can I do this? And they were like, yeah, it's kind of funny. I like it. So everyone felt the same.
I would have said the same thing. I like that same kind of dark humor, like the more inappropriate, the funnier it is. So Yeah, I could see how that wouldn't land though. A lot of people are pretty sensitive.
Whoops. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, when you start writing these, so, you know, we've gone through, like, you're not using AI. Sometimes it's kind of different than the normal kind of email someone would expect from an SEO-focused industry email newsletter. What's the process look like? Are you working on it all week? Do you have, like, a list of different ideas that you're workshopping and you're like, that's not going to work this week? Or how does it look? Is it really messy?
Yeah, it's like the worst possible way to do this. I just, like, over the week, I'm on Twitter, or if I see articles, I'll kind of save them. And then in theory, the idea is like pull them up, see which one I want to write about. But once I start writing, you know, sometimes I'll write about one thing and it'll just be really long and really ranty. And sometimes it'll be a couple things. And it's just like when I open the email, I just start writing whatever shit pops into my head. Mostly it works out. It does take me like an entire day to write these things. So like if I think this week I wrote it on Tuesday, or I think it was yesterday. It took the entire day. Like I started around 10 a.m. and I think I published it around 4:30 or 5. Just takes a long time, but it's very authentic and it's very, you know, I give it a light editing because I misspell everything or type thing instead of think, stuff like that. But typically they're not, you know, I just on it for a night and then come back to it and make edits. I probably should. It might be better if I did. Sometimes if I'm really mad about something, I will maybe mess around with it and then kind of delete it and start over. For example, like Ahrefs did this thing. There was like the top, it was the new guy they hired, Ryan Law, I think. He's like, hey, send me your newsletter. I want to read them. I'm making a list for Ahrefs. And I did. And the list came out and it was a fine list. I'm biased. It didn't include me, so I think it was a bad list. But what it did was it included all of the newsletters you already know. You know what I mean? Just the newsletters everyone reads already. And it's like, great. Like, that's super helpful, I guess. You see, I kind of have an attitude about it. But I to write about that, and I was like, ooh, I'm way too mad. Like, I'll regret sending this. So I let it sit for a week, and then I wrote about it. And it's one of my personal favorite newsletters that I've ever written, because I let it sit and thought about it. So, you know, maybe one day in the future, process will look a little different. I think that it might produce better newsletters. It won't be as fresh and as weird. And I kind of don't want to lose that, because I think that's something that a lot of people like and respond to.
Got it. I have a friend who's been blogging for, I don't know, 10 years, something like that. But I think he says that he has a couple hundred partially written drafts that he like starts. And I mean, really, he should probably just like delete some of them. Or honestly, now these days, maybe he could like export it, put it into ChatGPT, and like at least get a list of his ideas with like three bullet points. And then he could go back to it instead of like ramblings of a madman. But yeah, it's interesting. Like, there is a rawness and just like a fresh, authentic take, which I do appreciate. And I usually do that with my emails. Typically, I'm writing them and sending them out maybe 50% of the time. And then others, like, I'll do a draft and go through, and I will use like ChatGPT or other tools and say, people that have objections, what questions would they ask and how can I go ahead and take care of that? Just as a sort of a writing coach kind of thing. But okay, cool. Anything else about the process? Do you include a lot of images? Oh yeah. How long are the typical emails?
Like 2,000 words almost. They're really long. And some of that is quoting, you know, from the articles I'm talking about. Cat has joined us. Sorry. But yeah, they tend to be long, and I really try and do a lot of upfront work when people subscribe to get them to bond to me, like the welcome email, and to drag me into the main tab or whatever, because like some of these emails talking about CBD oil, like testosterone boosters, like all this spammy stuff. And I do include a lot of links and a lot of images. And I think that really produces a fairly low, or I guess a fairly high spam score, you know, to get caught up. So yeah, they do tend to be long. About, I think the last one I sent was 1900 words, almost 2000. And that's pretty typical. And I do put in a lot of images. So I think there's a fair amount of that goes to spam because of the nature of the emails.
Okay. All right. Well, as we're wrapping up here, where do you see rank theory heading in the next, you know, few years, I would say?
I'm definitely trying to turn it into like more creator brand with an agency kind of built on top of it. I think that that suits me the best. Like I said, I really care about creativity and doing this kind of creative work. I'm not a good, really technical SEO myself, though my team member is, my partner is. So yeah, I recorded my first YouTube video today. I hate being on video, but I think that's really a way that I have to try and grow things. So yeah. Just being more like producing more content. Right now I produce one email per week, but I would like to produce more blog posts, produce more videos, turn those into podcasts, etc.
Got it. Okay. Well, I mean, the newsletter is definitely a great platform to jump from. And I mean, at the end of the day, like the great thing is it's really different audiences too, in my opinion. So like you can repurpose the content and like completely different people are going to see it on YouTube, and you can do the same damn thing. So
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So
yeah. This is awesome, Sean. So we kind of wrapped it up. Is there anything else with the newsletter that I didn't ask you about that is important to cover?
I don't think so. I think we definitely touched on all the important bits for sure.
Cool. Well, where can people find you?
Go to ranktheory.com. That's the main place of its big sign up form right on the homepage. I'm also on Twitter at Sean Markey, but not a very good tweeter by these days standards, I guess. So I don't know if that's the best, but definitely sign up for the newsletter. That's where I put all my energy each week.
Awesome. We'll put a link for that. And yeah, I recommend the newsletter. Like I said, I'm on it. I read them each week and it's pretty entertaining. So thanks a lot, Sean. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Thanks to Sean. And be sure to check out Rank Theory. Follow the links so that you can sign up for the newsletter. And I'll tell you, you know, it's not for everyone. I like it a lot. I've been on the list for a while. And you'll know immediately if you like the style or not. It's kind of fun reading through it as a person who writes an email newsletter and seeing how he writes and the way he presents whatever he's trying to share, whether it's a little bit of a tangent or if it's like a very actionable set of things, which there's quite a bit of variance. So thanks a lot for checking out the Ranking Revolution podcast. If you do want to help out, make sure you like and subscribe, and wherever you're consuming this, subscribe, leave a review. I tell you this every time. If you haven't done it yet, it really does help. I know it's taken me a while to even leave reviews for some of my friends' podcasts, and it just takes a few minutes. You could do it directly on your phone or whatever, but it does truly help out, and I appreciate everyone that does leave a review out there. So thanks a lot, and we'll catch you on the next episode.